They won't let me sit down.
Good morning, everyone. The song that we will sing prior to our prayer and our Bible class this morning, I Stand in Awe. This is song 937 in our hymnals. If you were following along in our hymnals, you will note that there is one verse in this song. We will sing through that song twice in its entirety. I Stand in Awe, song 937. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Righteous, merciful creator of our universe, our God and our Father, we bow, Father, in awe of your majesty, in awe, Father, of your creative power and all the great and wonderful things, Father, that you have done for your creation. Specifically mankind who is created in your image. Father, you've blessed us with everything that we need in this life and for most of us great abundance beyond our needs. Help us always to receive your gifts thankfully and with joy for the ability, Father, to return back to your creation. A portion of what you've given us for your glory and honor. Father, we look to receive your gifts in the right manner. We look to share them with others that might not be as blessed as we are. We look, Father, to use the gifts that you give so that your name might be glorified in our lives, in our communities, in this church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We look, Father, to honor you and your Son Jesus, knowing, Father, that you've paid great debts on our behalf, Father. Although we were made in your image, we've transgressed, we've sinned, and we're not fit, Father, to be called your children, just as the prodigal son wasn't. So, Father, we are thankful for your mercy and your compassion, for your benevolent nature. Jesus Christ became the price for our unfaithfulness. He suffered and died on the cross, and shed his blood, Father, so that we can be cleansed. And we are cleansed, Father, if we've contacted that blood in obedient return of faith and immersion in the waters of baptism. We can be called your children, both in this life and forever, Father, because of your grace and peace and mercy. Father, we are mindful of those around us that don't know truth, those that have not yet heard that message that saves or have not yet accepted it. Father, we pray that that we'll be diligent in our efforts with this evangelism outreach program, Father, that we are mindful of the lost souls and we want their return just as you do. Father, we are mindful of those of our number that can't be with us, that are struggling in various ways, some of which haven't been with us in quite some time. Father, help us to encourage them, to uplift them, and let them know that they're continually in our prayers, continually in our thoughts. Father, some of them we mentioned by name this very moment. Father, we're mindful of our sister Rose Beattie, who we received a favorable report about this week. We were concerned about her and still are, Father, but we're glad to know, thankful to know, Father, that that she is well and that she hopes to be able to return to be with us someday soon. Father, for others like Jack and Millie Keene, for Evelyn Belt, for Catherine Wright, for Judy Mayberry, Father, we want all of their return as well, and we ask, Father, that your hand might be merciful towards them. For still others that have been with us more recently, but have in some of the poor weather have not been able to be with us. Father, we're mindful of Naomi Simmons and Dustin Jackson. We're very thankful, Father, to see our sister Pearl Hyatt back with us this morning. We're thankful, Father, for your patience and your mercy with us. We're not everything that we need to be, and we want to be more. We know that you call us to be more. Father, help us to give ourselves more to you in our prayer lives, in our study of your word, and in just living that Christian example, imitating Christ Jesus. Father, this morning we have an opportunity to study your word together collectively, and we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for James and the materials that he's prepared from your message, the word of God, the Bible. And we're thankful for our Bible class teachers, David and others that might be teaching the youth. We pray, Father, that they would deliver the messages that you have prescribed for us, those truths found in your word, and that they might uplift us and encourage us. Bless us, Father, and forgive us where we sin. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may pass to your class.
Good morning, everyone. I'm thrilled that you are here today. I want to start out with something that has been requested, and then I'm going to give you a challenge. And I want to challenge everybody in here. That includes myself. But it was brought up that the Blair family had a picture taken in a sheet on information. If you don't have one, I've put them out in the foyer for you to get one. Don will also be announcing this during the announcement time, because if you have pages that you're missing somebody, ask and we will try our best to accommodate you to get those pages for you. Now the challenge is, and you can say, this don't go along with our lesson. Yes, it does. The challenge is, I want everyone in here, so if you're a married couple, that means two, I want to challenge everyone to call somebody that does not attend the Bible class in the mornings here with us. We need to get our attendance up there. And in order to do that, the encouragements from everybody in here will help. So I want to challenge everybody to call someone this week. Now, you can even call Jack and Millie King. You can call some of the others that are not in here just yet. Some of them do have challenges to get here just during worship. We understand that. But we can't teach if they're not here. The ones that are not here, they're not always available to teach. They need to grow just as much as everybody else in here is growing, okay? We don't want to leave them out. And I think it's our duty to call some of them and ask them, you know, I'll give you for instance, if Georgia calls so-and-so over here, she may have a better rapport with that person in order that they'll come. So you've got to call who you think you can encourage to be here. Now, what are we here this morning for? To share the gospel in a Bible study. And so, you know, I just think that it's our job to help do that. You know, we're in evangelism mode right now with new members, with prospects, with whatever you want to call these individuals. But I'm going to tell you what, we need to evangelize the ones that are not here all the time, the ones that are not here for Bible study, and encourage them that they are part, which they know they are. But I'm going to tell you what, we get lazy. When I say that, well, I don't have to be there till 10:30. I understand, and so anybody that's listening to, I understand there is challenges for a lot of us to be here, but let us help you with those challenges. So if you're listening this morning, let us help you with those challenges on our broadcast to get you here to worship with us, to help uplift each and every person here. Now, you might ask yourself, why would that uplift one another? Our lesson today is about a jailer and Paul being in prison and Silas being in prison. And as they were in prison, they prayed, they sang, they taught, and everyone around them, including the jailers, all of them that were there, got to hear the word. And when we talk about this today, I hope that everybody gets as much out of it as I did by studying it. Because I've told us many times, we don't know who's listening when we speak out in public, because there's always somebody who's listening that you're not aware of. And that's a hard lesson to learn when it come up to you later and say, are you supposed to be a Christian? Do you hear what I said? Supposed to be? And I heard you say this. I've never had that happen, but think about that. Okay, we left off in chapter 16 last week. And I think we kind of read 25 and 26. Let's read them. Now, we'll read the whole section and then we'll go back over it. Because there's many things in here that are interesting to me. Because sometimes I think nobody's listening. Think about that for a second. All right, verse 25 of chapter 16. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakened from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, suppose the prisoners had fled,
drew his sword, and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour and the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Verse 34. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Now, we kind of discussed verse 25 and 26. And the only thing I want to mention about that, we talked quite a bit about it last week. But if when we see here, they were enjoying themselves by singing hymns to God and praying to God. And, you know, and I think I mentioned last week, why would we be so happy? Well, our main reason, I believe, is because they were suffering for God's sake. They were doing what God had asked, and now they've been thrown into prison for doing God's will. What we also need to point out here, and is interesting, it says, the prisoners were listening to them. And you might say that, well, they were captive. They had to listen. Well, that's true. But as we see later, and we'll talk about that more, but they listened to an extent that they stayed in prison and did not leave once the doors were open. They listened to Paul and Silas. They stayed there with Paul and Silas. So, the effect of God's word affects everybody involved. Everybody that hears it, it affects them in such a way, or sometimes in such a way, they come to their senses about knowing who God really is, knowing that this is what they should do. Jamie?
When I was looking at this week, one of the things that I ran across when I was looking up these verses, one person said the key word there in 25 was "to," that they were singing hymns to God, not about God. They were singing to him, not about him. And they said that was a key word there to look at, that we're to sing praises to God, not just be singing about God.
That's a good point, because these were pagans, wasn't they? I'm sure most everybody here was a pagan. Jamie? I thought you had some. Okay. So, ask yourself, why is that important? That's a good point, Jamie. Why is that important that we sing to God, not about God?
I think maybe it changes our attitude while we're singing, right? If we're just mouthing the words and they don't really mean anything to us, then, you know, our singing is not going to be very good. But if we recognize that we're talking directly to our God as we're singing, it might put a little more emphasis in the spiritual nature of our singing. You know, we might try a little harder to do a little better, perhaps.
That's right. I'm
not talking about sounding better, because God doesn't listen with his ears, right?
That's correct.
God probably doesn't have ears, I don't know. But he hears everything nonetheless. And he hears our heart more than he hears the sound coming out of our mouth.
That's a good observation, because singing to God, praying to God, I didn't look that scripture up, but he wants our undivided attention all the time. And if we're not giving it to him and we're just singing about instead of to, see, it makes a difference in the wording and what you read. And so if we're singing about God, I don't think they would have listened as well. That's just a personal observation of what the scriptures has told us here. But when you sing to God, what does that make it? Personal. Personal. Does that not uplift you when you're singing or talking or praying to God? Does that not make it, when you do that, is that not personal? Because I'm sure not going to pray and you're going to pray about things that you've made mistakes on. That's what I'm getting at. I've made mistakes on this. I'm going to pray about it, see if I can't do better. If James Miller makes it aware that he's made some, I'm going to help him pray by, well, not help him, but help talk to God about helping James Miller, okay, or over here. Now, can I help him? Only through prayer. But through that prayer, we are interacting with God and our fellow members. Okay? As you heard James this morning pray about the especially the ones that are homebound, that is personal for James and all of us here. It should be. And if they're listening this morning, say, they haven't forgot about me. What can I do to get back and join the membership? What can I do? I guarantee you some of them's thinking that. Is that important to us? Absolutely. Absolutely. You should see some of your faces light up when so-and-so walks in and they haven't been here for months. Or somebody else. Or Pearl. I can mention Pearl. She hasn't been here in a while. We know why. Because of her safety. But we still light up because she's here. Is that not encouragement? That's what I see these prisoners doing here. They have lit up and they are encouraged because Paul and Silas sang and prayed to God. Now, wait a second here. Now they have hope. Before, they just had prison. 3 meals a day, if they got that, maybe two. Maybe bread and water, we don't know. But now there's hope. Think about that. Without hope, we are nothing. And after hope comes our belief and our willingness to serve God. So now these individuals have hope. And as they have this hope, we'll read about that some more in a minute. We'll talk about that in just a second. You know, we have a lot of hope, don't we? And I want us to realize that because these prisoners at this particular time had that. That's why I wanted to make sure. I won't go too detailed with this, but in verse 26 it says that a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone, chains were loose. Now, as I read that, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, that all happened exactly at the same time. The shaking, the chains falling off, the doors being opened. And we talked about the miracles last week because we talked about how many men that it would take to open these large doors. Because we also talked about that a few, probably months now ago, about how large these doors are. Now, everybody's watching this. The jailers and the prisoners are seeing all this happen at one time. But what happened right before that? They were singing and praying to God. You can only conclude that they concluded that this was through God that this happened. I can't see any other conclusion here. Anybody have any questions before I go on to 27?
Well, I guess one thing too for me is that you could see that the earthquake could have opened the doors, but the chains coming off of them, you know, there was definitely you know, God, I mean, there's, of course, God handles all of it, but I mean, for the chains to come loose at an earthquake, that doesn't make as much sense as the doors being open. God did that too.
You could say that nobody knew who the doors opened. Yeah, nobody was there to actually watch it, because they were in, most, a lot of them are in the inner prison, but the ones that were outer might have thought, not been able to see, but you're right.
The chains falling off seemed to be pretty, you know, it's always seemed pretty miraculous to me, as well as the doors.
Now, in verse 27,
James,
go ahead.
Earthquakes are not, you know, completely unheard of events, right? We've had a lot of earthquakes both before and after that event. It's notable when Christ died on the cross, there was an earthquake. One of the signs accompanying his death was an earthquake, and you know, this earthquake was from God. This was not just a normal seismic event that randomly happened. This was an explainable thing that God had his hand directly in, just as the one at Christ's death was.
Yeah, I totally agree. All these things happened because God had made them happen. We'll go back over 27 again. It says, the keeper of the prison, awakened from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposed the prisoners had fled, and drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Now, we did talk about that too a few weeks ago, and partially last week, that was a custom of their pagan religion, or because of the responsibility they had, that was their custom. Now, was it a good custom? Absolutely not. No one killing themselves is ever good. But he believed that's what he had to do, because his responsibility was to keep everybody in prison. Now the doors are open and they're all gone. That's what he thinks at this particular time. James?
We saw that happen back in chapter 12 when Peter escaped from prison, that Herod went and questioned the guards. And when the guards couldn't account for Peter's whereabouts, they were executed. So the normal practice, when I looked this up online, that guards were going to be executed. They were going to be held responsible for the escape of the prison. In fact, they were basically charged with the replacement offense of the escaped prisoner. So if I was a murderer and I was going to get killed, and I escaped from prison, now that fate is the guards. So their response often was to take their own life in advance of that torturous death that they were about to get. So that's what he was looking to avoid by killing himself, it seems.
But, right, and like I said, this was a custom at that time. And like James Miller said, that in chapter 12, that he didn't, so they were going to kill him because he didn't kill himself. But as we can see here, he had drawn his sword to do harm to himself. Now, here's something that we need to pay particular attention to. In verse 28, it says, "But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.'" Now, my question is, before we read any more, which I know we've read this, but it's dark in that prison. There's no lights. How can Paul see him? I want us to think about that. In that day and time, there was only lanterns they walked around with to guide themselves. There was no daylight in the prison, except for during the day that maybe would come in some windows. But at night, it was pitch black. Has anybody really been out with no moon, in the middle of nowhere, and it being pitch black, and you can't see what direction you're going? Has anybody been there that way? I know Brent and I have, but James Miller has raised his hand, but it's the same thing underground. He can look at that and say, I can understand what they're talking about, because there is no light underground. Now, I said that to tell you this. Younger, we've been in many caves. We went to a lot of caves. Dad would take us to all different places, and this one time, the guide stopped everybody,
They said, and they warned them, I'm turning the lights off. I am going to turn the lights off. Now, if she hadn't warned it, how many people would have been hysterical? I don't even want to count. But now, the lights are off, and she asked everybody to put their hand in front of their face and put it up as close as they could to where they could see it. You couldn't see it. So that's how I imagine this prison was at nighttime with no moon. I mean, you got some stars out. So it's very dark. So how does he see this guard?
Holy Spirit intervention.
Well, that's one. But probably next to him was a lantern. Because he has to go and check these prisoners throughout the night, right? There's a possibility of that. So he could see his silhouette probably in the doorway. That's one way you can explain it. I think it's more of God's intervention, but that was one of the commentaries that you could see the silhouette because there was a lantern over by where he was. Now we've got that situated, is that he told him to do himself no harm. We're all here. Don't you think that wasn't a relief to this guard? Now he's going to go check to see if they're all here. I guarantee it. So the guard did say, he called for a light, this is verse 29, and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Why would he do that? The only thing I can come to conclusion is because they are all still here and he knows that they are responsible that all the prisoners are still here. He saved this guy from being either killed or having to kill himself. That's just one thing I believe happened here. The other thing is, I believe that's probably more important than any of it, is they had, like, back again, they've been singing and praying all night. Now we have all the chains falling off, the doors are flew open, there's an earthquake. Don't you think that now they realize these are men from God and has been imprisoned wrongly? That's the conclusion I'd come to. That these men are truly, truly from God. Now think about that for a second. I am in the presence of somebody that can pray to God and have things happen. And this guy's going to be either killed or he has to kill himself. Isn't that a good reason to go and fall down to these guys? I'm not going to say he's worshiped them then. What I'm going to tell you is he was thankful they were all still there. Think about that. So that's why I brought up earlier, everybody's not here this morning. That could be. And I think we leave them out, and we shouldn't. I will ask next week on who did the phone call, so please do your phone calls. It's a challenge for you. Now, see, he didn't just fall down. He trembled as he fell down. As he was down there, probably bowing to these individuals, he was trembling. He was scared. I think that is something that we leave out of our Christianity. We should be scared of the results when we don't obey God and we do not do His will. Don't we need to tremble about that too? I know when I was younger that, you know, we had the preachers up here that would preach fire and brimstone a lot. And as a kid, once you got to understand what they're talking about, man, I don't want to be in that situation. I'm not sure that we don't need some of that. I'm not saying we need beat over the head with the Bible. I'm not saying that we don't comprehend what any preacher tells us. But it does shake us up a little bit and get us thinking when
it's presented you in such a way that you might go to hell.
It's good to be reminded of our consequences from time to time.
Our consequences, that's right. So, I believe no matter how good we are, or how good we think we are, Judgment Day we will know. I can say I'm this, 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 and this, and I'm good, good, good. And I can make everybody here believe that. But God knows. He will judge me according to what I have done. He's not going to judge me according to what Doug or James has done, because He's going to judge them accordingly. So I think that we need to stand on our own 2 feet and do what we can to worship and do God's will as been taught in the scriptures. Now, in the next verse, I think here it gets a little complicated for some people. I did say some people. Because it says here, and he brought them out, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" We're going to stop there for a second. What should I do to be saved? There was an example that I read in the commentary that I thought was excellent to try to tell people what they need to do to be saved. I've not seen it in that way, but I've taught it in a similar way, but not quite what they did. And I'm going to need some help from the audience. James Miller, I'm going to need you first, so everybody can have an example. You're an educated man. What is it going to take you to get a PhD? Doctor's degree. Krista told me last week it was the same thing. So, how much more education are you going to need?
Probably another 3 years.
Another 3 years. Doug?
Probably six.
Six. Ashley?
3 or 4.
Probably six or more. Because I think it's 4 more years after your 4 years. So we don't know. My point is to everybody here, everybody's at a different level. I am not going to tell Tyler, which we all know he's 11 years old, that in 3 years or 4 years he's going to get a PhD. Right? It's impossible for him to get one at that age with his abilities, okay? I'm not saying there's probably kids smarter or something, but so only point I'm getting at is that everybody we read about in the scriptures is at a different level of comprehension of where they're at on understanding what God has asked us to do to repent and be baptized, correct? Different levels. So when we go over this next few verses here, I want us to understand the different levels. Now, when I say it that way also is that we have heard it, repent. We've heard it other ways. And what we are taught in the scriptures is the ways that I'm going to present it here in a few minutes. And people misread or misunderstand that all the steps have to be accomplished, because Doug or James don't have to do those steps to get that PhD because they've already done something prior to that. And if they've already done something prior to that with their education, it takes them less years to get there. So when we are at different steps in our belief, our Christianity, when we're at different steps, we have less steps to go through. It's just common sense. And so I don't always understand. Well, all you got to do is believe. That's it. I heard the word, I'm fine. I made that prayer that it says in some scriptures, said just, some people say, just pray this prayer.
I think in each account of conversion in Acts, the action that we see defines the point of salvation, and they're all the same. We saw that, you know, earlier in this chapter with Lydia back in verse 15,
right.
What her result was. And then we're going to see that here with the Philippian jailer in another verse or so. He didn't say a prayer and salvation was his. We see the action that he took to attain salvation. His belief was manifested with his fulfillment of God's plan.
Well, also this jailer, as you mentioned, was a Gentile. That he was, very likely not a Jew at all, had not known anything about Jesus, except for maybe what he heard in the prayers and singing. But he was asleep, too, so we don't know how long he slept through.
We don't know exactly what he heard. That's correct.
And so, I mean, what did he want to be saved from? He's getting ready to kill himself.
Right.
He wanted to be saved from death. So he says, how am I going to be saved? And so then they told him what he really needed. But he didn't, when he's asking about being saved, it wasn't probably about spiritual salvation, even though it might have been. But it's probably likely that, everybody's here. It's your, you helped me do this. Now what do I need to do to get out of the situation?
I would like for everybody to turn to chapter 2 in Acts. We're going to read verse 37, where we'll make some comments. Verse 37 says, let me go ahead and back up to at least 36. Therefore, all the household of Israel, knowing assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay? What shall we do? So he's asking, these people are asking what they need to do. But it wasn't until after they had heard what was being said. Okay? They didn't just volunteer this. They had to hear. So what happened? You have to be taught. That's hearing, right? Acts chapter 16, verse 30, we just read, and it says, sir, this is the last part, what must I do to be saved? Now, we know that they have heard, or he and some of them have heard them singing and praying and probably doing some teaching. It doesn't really mention that, but it would have to. Because now we got another person that asks the same question. All right? I think they're in two different spots here, but they have heard something in order to ask this. Okay. Let's turn to Acts 22 real quick. And verse 10 says, so I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go to Damascus, and there it will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. Now, we're not going to go through that study yet, but it says all the things that you are to do, all the things. Therefore, that right there tells us there's not one thing or two things. It says all the things. So what is all those things? First of all, we have to hear. We know that some of these have heard. Now, what's your next step? You have to believe. Now, they believed because, I believe this, is because of the earthquake. Everything was open. Everybody was still there. Okay? Next. They didn't tell this in that section, but I believe this is what they would be told a little bit later. And so it says, to repent. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ is the Son of God. It doesn't tell that in this section here, those things. But we're taught in other sections in Acts that that's part of it. So, why would they not do that here when they are pagans? Why would they not be taught they needed to repent? Because here it says, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Okay? Now, wait a second. What are they doing here? They're hearing again. And when we read down a little bit later, we're going to find out they believed because the whole household was baptized. We know that that was important to be baptized for the remission of your sins. It tells that in other sections in Acts. So we have to assume, and I really hate to use that word because we're not assuming anything here, they repented. It just doesn't tell us. It also says here, they have to confess. Well, hang on a second. It didn't actually say confess, but we do know they were baptized. We do not know exactly. And so they believed. We all know that. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved, you and your household. So you can't skip from being a hearer and a believer to being baptized without these other things. Just like you cannot skip your education to be a PhD when you're in grade school. You have to learn along the way. You have to continue to progress. It teaches that in the scriptures, in other places. And so what I'm getting at here this morning is that you cannot pick and choose what you think is accurate. You have to read the whole context. You have to read and study and read and study because people that believe just maybe a prayer, it doesn't say that here. So we already know that part is false. 33. And he took them all the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, that tells us that if they were baptized immediately, that's when they were saved. Now, we've already talked about that a couple times in Acts already. And we're going to talk about it more again in another chapter. My point is that some say that Paul was saved on the road. Well, we also remember that he was told to go into Damascus, and it will be told to him what he must do. So, my point with this is that until baptism, we're still not saved. We could change our minds. We haven't went through the act of being baptized yet, as some people might think. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Okay. His household. This brings us to another part. Some people says this is where it's okay for infants. I have a problem with that, especially reading this verse. It says, having believed in God. Having believed in God. Can an infant believe in God? They don't have the mentality. Can small children? Well, they might believe, but I don't think it's here yet. Okay? So we have to consider all these things when we teach these things. I want to thank everybody for their participation. I know we've went over, but I do appreciate it. And we will start. I got some more stuff I want to do, so we will go ahead and go over a few of that next week, okay? Thanks.